Our first scripture reading today is from Exodus chapter 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." But then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord settled on the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 17. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Please would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight for the truth that you have planted in our souls. Amen. Climbing a mountain is tough work. If you've tried it, you know. Climbing a hillside is bad enough. Climbing a ridge, any sort of height, is hard for us to achieve. Maybe it's our basic physical design. Maybe it's that we're meant, some would argue, to stay on the flat places of the earth. Climbing mountains is hard work. It is slog to get up a mountainside. It is tough. We've designed all sorts of things to help us do it, special shoes and special walking sticks that you can use, special backpacks to carry necessities, special clothing that wicks the moisture from the inside to the outside. We try to make it easier in any number of ways because we recognize that it is tough to get from where we are up onto a mountain. And so it makes sense. It makes sense when you think of these amazing stories of the presence of God, the dazzling, incredible presence of God. It makes sense that they happen high on mountains, where time and space feel like they collapse, where the world is suspended. Now, I don't know if that's just because your blood pressure is so high at that point and your heart is beating so fast that time and space feel like they collapse. But you know that sense you get when you look out of an aeroplane, if you've had the privilege of flying on a clear day, and the earth is so tiny below you that it feels like it collapses. I remember when we first came to the United States of America, we were flying, it was my first time flying that far overseas, and I had never seen snow in my life besides on high mountain peaks far away on the train in South Africa. And we're flying over New York State, probably upstate New York, because you come in over on the route we flew, you come in over the globe and then drop down to New York. And I say to Stephen, I'm leaning out and looking out the window, and I can see, I'm looking at all the things around. What's that big patch of white? I didn't realize how snow fell and that it's not always all white, but there can be big patches of ice and snow and then still green trees around them. I was amazed. I was amazed because it looked so teensy from the airplane and the trees looked so small. Time and space collapse and the whole world seems smaller, suspended when you are up on a mountain or in an aeroplane. How much in these stories we often focus on the slog and the hard work it would have taken for those characters, Moses and Jesus, to get up onto that mountaintop. How often we hear sermons and stories about them, the insights, the incredible closeness, the wonder and strength they must have had to overcome the fear in those moments of the very presence of God with them, the dazzling, amazing presence of God, the amazing grace of God to show up for us upon these mountaintop experiences. But how often do we think about the folk who went along with them? Did you notice that? Even Moses, he didn't go alone. Did you hear Michael read it right toward the beginning? So Moses set out with his assistant, Joshua. And we know that Jesus took with him Peter and James and James's brother John up onto that high mountain by themselves. How often do we think about these faithful people who go alongside? Joshua, Peter, James, and John. They went along. These leaders, these visionaries who know when we need to ascend to the mountain, who know when we need the amazing grace of God in our lives, who know when we need to understand the vision that God is setting forth before us. Only visible from the heights of a mountain, only visible when time and space can collapse, when we get that sense of proportion that can see far into the distance, far into the future. These visionaries are amazing. God has sent them to us all through the ages in prophets, in the Messiah, and in the prophets of our own day and age, those who speak truth to power, who speak sense in the midst of fake news and spin, those who speak into the distortions of wealth and power, who call us back from the wilderness, from the loneliness and the barrenness of isolation, who call us back to be a people of God, who call us back to God. These people are incredible, are worth following. But how often do we think of those first followers? There's this video that's been circulating on YouTube for ages. I found it once and sent it out to a group of you when we were talking about leadership. You may remember it. But for those of you who haven't seen it, it's really simple. It's 3 minutes long total. It's a hillside during a concert, and there are various videos of it. And there's one crazy nut who goes over onto the side on the grass and starts dancing like a crazy person. Really, it's kind of funny at first. And then another crazy nut goes and joins that person and starts dancing along with them. And the first person doesn't reject the second person and say, listen, no, this is my show. You go and sit back down. The first person embraces the second person, seemingly a stranger. And the second person calls over. You see them go like this to their friends. And then three more people come, and right after them, two more people, and then hordes of people come over. And they dance like crazy people over on the grass, all of them, a movement born right there in 3 minutes or less. See, those who follow the leader, those first followers, they are the ones who transform a single idealist, a crazy person, a lone nut, into a leader. They're the ones who catch the vision, and following justify what that person is doing. They're the people who make the difference. How often do we look at their bravery? How often do we seek to emulate the follower? How often do we embrace the amazing grace of God to have visionaries in our midst and follow? The leaders in our world, the visionaries, the Martin Luthers, the John Calvins, the John Lockes, the Emmeline Pankhursts, the Sojourner Truths, the Gandhis, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther Kings, the Wangari Maathais, and the list goes on and on and on. Those people are a gift to us. But so often, we feel that we're not it. We feel that we don't have that kind of leadership. Well, friends, here's the thing. Sometimes we're just called to follow. Sometimes that's the bravest thing that we can do. To go up alongside the truth, the understanding, the insight. To hear it, to see it, to become part of it. Climbing a mountain is one thing. Climbing a mountain and having the vision. But let's acknowledge, there's a fear in following. In that 3-minute video, there's a crazy person out there dancing. They felt moved to do it. But the person who stands up alongside them overcomes a fear. Overcomes a fear, recognizing that they might be an outcast, not knowing if the next 5 people are coming along. And we acknowledge the bravery of the leaders, the visionaries. We acknowledge the bravery of the incredible people who have walked in our midst. But how often do we acknowledge the bravery of the people who follow, those first followers? What happens when we follow? When we follow and allow time and space to collapse by embracing the amazing grace of God to give the vision. It is in our midst. We have all we need for what God is calling us to do in the world. We just need to be brave enough to stand alongside the prophets and the visionaries, to take a stand, trusting that others will join us. Look around this room, friends. Look at all the joy that is gathered in this place. Look at all that God is doing in our midst. So friends, let us catch the vision. Let us follow. For the amazing grace of God, the dazzling visionaries have set the path before us. Amen. Amen.